dismissing children. Amen. Children, I believe, and the teenagers. Amen. We're going to ask the adults to stand tonight. How many really know that everything that happened to me that was good?
Hallelujah.
That God did. Not some things, but everything that happened to me that was good.
God did it.
God did it. Amen. We just bless the Lord on this evening. Amen. We thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. And we thank God that God is a faithful God. How many have a testimony that God is faithful?
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking about what you heard. I'm talking about what you experienced.
Hallelujah.
And know that God is good.
Thank you, Jesus.
And know that God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul tells us because He's faithful that God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. But He will with the temptation make a way to escape that we might be able to bear. Amen. So tonight we just thank God that He's good. Amen. The question I like to ask, are we faithful, as faithful to God as God is to us? I know none of us can say yes to that. Amen. But we should endeavor with the best of our ability, with all that God has given us, to try to be faithful. Amen. The scripture lets us know, I believe it's in Matthew, that God's going to say, well done, my good and
faithful servant.
A lot of times we do good, but we're not faithful. Amen. We used to sing a song years ago. We haven't sang it in a long time. Lord, whatever I do for you, let it be real. When I pray, Lord, let it be real.
Come on, Elder.
When I come to church, Lord, let it be real. When I fast, let it be. Lord, whatever I do for you, Jesus, let it be real. In other words, there's no hypocrisy, amen. There's no hidden agendas, no hidden motives, but we want to be real, amen. As we said on Sunday, that we're going to continue on a train of thought. The message on Sunday was, Lord, don't let me be deceived, amen. So we're going to continue on the message of deception. I don't think we have audio video person yet, so we're going to ask. Get our Bibles. Amen. With the deception, how many of us will willingly go against God? I don't think any of us will willingly go against God. How many of us will willingly dishonor God? And I don't think any of us will willingly dishonor God. But the way that the devil gets us to do it is through deception. Amen. That's why Paul tells the Hebrew brethren, if you get Ephesians chapter 4, that's why Paul tells the Hebrew brethren, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we what? Have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The scripture said, for if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape? Lord, thank you. If we neglect so great a salvation. Amen. A lot of times, we look at the people, we say, well, people that are on drugs, they can't make it to heaven. Amen. Don't get quiet. That's all right. Say, when people are alcoholics, they're not going to make it to heaven. People that are in their own kind of morality, they're not going to make it to heaven. Amen?
Come on.
But said every transgression and disobedience receives a what? Just recompense and reward. Amen. And just think of it. Adam and Eve was cast out of the garden because they were drinking.
Disobeyed.
Because they were had drug addiction.
Disobeyed.
They kicked out because they what?
Disobedience.
Sin in God's eyes, all sin are the same. I mean, we like to put weights on them. But they were kicked out of the garden because of disobedience. Now we know King David murdered, plotted, connived, and did a whole lot. But the Bible said God forgave him because he was a man after God's
heart.
So he messed up. But the problem with Saul was disobedience. Amen. And Saul couldn't get it right. Amen. What was the problem with Saul? The difference between Saul and David? Though in our eyes, David committed the greater, weightier sin, the problem is Saul couldn't get it right in his heart. Amen. So it's so important. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. Amen. Like once again, we're dealing with the deception. The deception is we think we have to do big stuff to mess up with God. But all we have to do is be
disobedient.
Amen. It says, not just every transgression, but every what? Disobedience receives a, in other words, God weighs it out. God measures it out. Amen. So whether it's transgression or disobedience, it's still out of favor with God. Verse 8 reads, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens,
that he might fill all things.
This is a miraculous scripture. You know, a lot of people try to figure out who God is. Amen. He said, when he ascended, he filled what?
All things.
He filled everything. Amen. He was down. He went. He left his human body, and now he was in this spiritual body.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he was no longer the Son of God, but he was God. So when he ascended, he filled
all things.
How many gods are there? One God. So we didn't have two gods filling all things. So this is a miraculous scripture in itself. So he ascended and he filled all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for a reason. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we some come. Till we what? All come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sin of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord
is blessed.
Is blessed.
Already.
Already.
And you may be seated.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. We're continuing our thought is on the deception. Amen. No one will willingly or consciously go against God unless they just don't care.
Come on, Elder.
But the adversary knows that there is a, my wife talks about all the time, a spiritual phenomenon. Amen. You ever know everything is all right till it's time to come to church?
Come on.
And then everything messes up?
Come on, talk about it.
And the deception is, well, I can't go to church. That a spiritual phenomenon is something that happened as factual, but it doesn't make sense.
Come on.
You can't understand it. You can't put a finger on it. But the devil knows. He said, you know what? You get ready to go hear something to liberate your soul. So I'm going to have to put a hindrance in your way. Because if you go to church, you're another force that I got to fight with.
Right.
So
right.
When it's time to go to church, he will use distractions.
Amen.
Amen. All of a sudden, the body doesn't feel good. I'm telling my wife, I don't know why. Every Sunday, I'm fine until it's time to come to church. Then they got all this phlegm and everything in my throat. I said, well, anybody wants to get it, I'm going anyway.
Right.
Come on
now.
Amen. If I had to cough in between, hallelujah, right. I'm going to be faithful to God. So there's a spiritual phenomenon. Everything is fine until it's time to come to church. Or everything is fine when you're at home, fine when you're at home, until it's time to pray. Because the devil knows, I got to get in there. Amen. I got to do something to cause you not to hear the word of God. And we need, how many need a word from the Lord?
Hallelujah.
The Bible talks about a famine in the last days. Not a famine of bread, but it's a famine from hearing
the word of the Lord.
Too many of us, amen, are allowing the spiritual phenomena to stop us from being faithful to God. Amen. We will be faithful to everything else. But we won't be faithful to God. Well, that's part of the devil's deception. Amen. Well, let me go back here. We'll read again. And as we said, remember earlier, we mentioned the scripture. It said, for we ought to give the more earnest to the things which we have heard. Amen. Can you hear at home? Can you hear when you're not in church? And the scripture lets us know that faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing by
word of the Lord.
He said, well, I hear the word at home, it's different. Amen. Because when you're in church, there's an anointing that you won't have at home. I don't care who to tell the evangelist, anybody else. There's a different anointing when you're in church.
Amen.
And that's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me,
yes.
Let me sit at home and watch the computer.
No.
Let me sit at home and watch the television.
No.
I was glad when they said unto me, what? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, you don't really, too many other places where he was glad to go, but to God's house. Why? Because in his presence is the
joy.
Somebody said, I just don't have the joy. Well, how faithful have you been to church and to God? How many little things, amen, will you let stop you from coming to church? I don't say this to brag, but like I told you all, whenever the devil afflicted me, amen, I couldn't walk, had to cut my shoes, but I was coming to church.
Come on, right.
Amen. When I got to church, my feet looked like balloons. I didn't make it home. I had to go to the hospital after that, but I was in church.
Come on now.
Because I wanted to be faithful to God.
Amen.
You know, I always use, one of the standards that I use for myself is I used to be a sport enthusiast. When I played football, when I played basketball, when I ran track, everything they said, don't do this because you need to give your body time to recuperate. I did it anyway.
Come on, Elder.
Lord knows I paid the day. But I did it then. But I would not allow anything to stop me from my sports, my activities. And then as I got saved, there were some times I just didn't feel like coming to church. The Lord brought it right back to my mind. You can stop when you were playing football. Amen. One time I had a little problem with my head because I got hit in the head from Bob being mischievous. And the doctor said, well, don't play. You know, I got 9 stitches or something like that. This was on a Friday night. The next day was a football game on Saturday. I said, ain't no way in the world I'm going to miss this football game. So me and my friends, we got a bunch of gauze, stocking caps, and all this stuff popping on my head. And guess what? I played. Amen. You know, and so God brought this back to me. This is for me. Now, you can do whatever. For you, you can measure yourself however you want. I said, if I can do that for nothing, so for fake glory, how much can I do for God who is the God of glory?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. So we need to keep everything in a proper perspective. Tell the devil he's lying.
Yes.
Amen. He's a liar. Don't allow him to switch stuff. When it's within your power. Now, there's sometimes we just can't get there. And that's understanding. But when it's in your power, yes, I get a headache. Yeah, you know, I get these headaches sometimes. I don't even get headaches, but I get a headache. Then when church is over, the headache is gone. It's like, wow, what happened? It's a church phenomenon.
Right.
Amen? Well, you know, you get up and everything is fine until it's time to go to church, then all of a sudden something hits you. That's the church phenomenon. You got to press over that. Because God wants to see if you're going to be
faithful.
How many know that God's a healer?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus said, they that are whole don't need the physician. So when you messed up, that's when you need to come to the hospital. Amen. That's what God needs to help. All right, let's get back to the Word of God. Amen. So let's go to verse 11. We start in verse 11. Amen. A lot of us have been blessed to understand Scripture pretty well. Amen. We can do the exegesis, eisegesis, and hermeneutics and everything when it comes to trying to interpret the Word of God. But you don't have a special gift unless God has blessed you being one of these five, which makes up the what ministry? The fivefold ministry. Amen. So it said, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. What were the gifts? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. This was a gift to the church. Amen. It didn't say personal prophets, but this is what God gave.
Amen.
The Bible says that, how can we preach except we be sent? How can we teach except we be sent? Well, who does the sending?
God does.
God does. Amen. So what was their purpose? For the what? Perfecting of saints. This perfecting means that God is trying to make preparations.
All right.
Amen. The perfecting is the spiritual preparations that God is making. So the service we miss, will have been a preparation. Because the Bible said the word of God will not return unto us what? But it will accomplish that which he pleases. So the service you miss is part of your preparation. Amen. So it's for the what? Perfecting of the saint. And for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to we all. Thank God he won't leave anybody out.
Come on.
God says to we what?
All.
Well, how can God help you when you allow the church phenomenon to keep you out of church? Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a
perfect man.
This means a spiritually mature man. In other words, you're spiritual enough to not let little things stop you when it comes to the word of God. Perfecting of the saints. That we henceforth be no more children. This children is a Greek word, nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S, and it means an infant or a baby. Alright, so there are different times we say children, it could mean the son, it could mean a young child. This means that you are a baby. How many know that a baby cannot control anything? Right. Amen. Right. Just like Zoe is a baby. Zoe can't open doors. Zoe can't prepare her own food. So she depends on her parents. Well, it says that we henceforth be no more
children
than a what? Tossed to and fro. God perfects the saints to spiritual maturity so that you don't act like an infant. Amen. Well, what happens to an infant? Now, if you pick wherever she has to go, someone has to help her. Amen. Because she's a what? She's a baby. She's an infant. God says that we're not supposed to allow ourselves to be in that position if we are faithful to God and we're being perfected. We're not supposed to be an infant that we're just tossed. We can't decide. I mean, a baby doesn't decide what they want to eat. They might be a little stubborn and might not eat what you want. Give them. But they can't decide that. So they're what? Tossed to and fro. It's like a wave. He's making this comparison. It's like a wave. You know when a wave goes, the wave just go. When a wave comes, you can't control the waves.
Amen.
Amen. It controls. It goes. As a matter of fact, I was watching some of the waves from this typhoon Haiyan. Amen. 200 miles per hour winds,
man,
going down trees, water. I couldn't figure out some of these people. They see all these waves coming. They stand out there watching. I would have been running as far away from the waves as I could. Amen. But the waves, you can't control the waves. But he said, well, when we don't mature or perfect ourselves in Christ, we're just like that infant. The waves are blowing us to and fro. It says, tossed about and carried about with what?
Every wind.
Well, when it was blowing, because we haven't spiritually matured, we eat it up. The wind controls us, just blows us back and forth. Why? There's no maturity. Well, what happened? The services that you need to help get you to be perfected or to spiritual maturity you're missing because of the church phenomenon. The church phenomenon is whatever can keep you out of church. Amen. And it, listen, it doesn't happen just here. It happens everywhere. Because the devil does not want you to hear the word of God. Amen. It says, by the slate of men. This, now this word slate is a Greek word, which is kybia, K-Y-B-E-I-A. And it has to deal with dice playing. Way back then, when it says slate, this is the only time this word is ever used in the whole Bible, and it makes reference to playing dice. Amen. And as a kid, I remember my uncles playing dice. What they used to call it shooting crap. Right? But some of the guys here see, wow, these guys are really good. They win all the time. Well, I used to watch my uncles, I didn't understand it. Not doing now. They used to drill out the middle of the dice. And they would put weights in it. Then they would fill it back in and paint it back black. So what Paul is saying, he said, you're just like those dishonest dice players. You're shysty. You're not honest. You're winning, but it's not through honesty. These dice players, like I said, they would shoot crap and they win. And what you do is whatever number, the way it goes is whatever number you want to show up, you go opposite of that number and you drill it out. But you can't drill it too big because they can't know it's drilled out. And then you fill it back in with something weighty and you paint it. How many know that everybody don't go around breaking open the dice and check it to see how you win? Well, that's what Paul said way back. So can you imagine way back in the time, Bible time, they had problems with people being dishonest with dice? Amen. So somebody said, well, the Bible don't say gambling is bad. You give such an example? Definitely of gambling. He said, when you do this, you're not spiritually mature. Amen. So he said, by the slate of men, in other words, people are not honest. Amen. So in them not being honest, everybody that you come in touch with or contact with concerning the Bible and scripture teaching, they're not honest. Some of them are some dishonest dice players. Amen. And they're misrepresenting the truth by using some faulty systems.
Amen.
And we said, oh, no. You know, God has given us a standard of rule for judging whether something is right or wrong. Amen. So he said, by the slate of men and cunning craftiness. This cunning craftiness is the Greek word panurgia, P-A-N-O-U-R-G-I-A. And it's the same word that the Bible uses in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 when it says the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. So when he says cunning craftiness, he's making reference to the fact that the devil is waiting in line, or people, not just the devil, other people are waiting in line to do what? To deceive you. Amen. Cunning craftiness. It's the same thing as the devil did to Eve. Well, what did he do? He twisted God's word. He used deception. He was not honest. He misrepresented what God said to get her attention. Well, Paul is saying we should not be children at this stage of the game if we've been saved. All these misrepresentations should not have that kind of impact upon us. So this kind of deception is not good because it appears good, but when you get down to the whether rubber meets the road, it's not true. And it's not obvious. Amen. So what we want to do, we want to be able to identify the tactics that the devil used to deceive. The number one tactic is he twists
all right
the word of God. It's a misrepresentation, as we went over on Sunday. It's a misconception to make something appear to be one way when it really is another. It's called the sleight of hand, or sleight of hand, are you dealing with a bunch of spiritual dice players in church? Because they're not honest. They're winning, but who knows the motives? Who knows what's behind them winning? In our eyes, they are really good. Amen, but they're not honest.
Amen.
They're weird. The Bible says this. The scripture is so complete. The Bible says a false balance is a what?
Abomination
before the Lord. Well, you know what that false balance was? Would be comparable to this. They were dishonest in their trade. So what they would do is they would cheat the scales. Attempt it in such a way that if you were supposed to be buying 5 pounds of something for $20, they would have the scales tipped or re-weighed out so you only got 3 pounds. Well, what God says is to listen, even in our spiritual application, a false balance is an abomination before God. We have to give God his just due.
Amen.
When we twist a turn, I don't represent it properly. God said that is an abomination. Well, why is it abomination? It's not an abomination before me. It's not an abomination before man. But it's an abomination before who? Because God knows. And God, you can't trick God. You can't fool God. Because God knows everything. You can't fool God. He knows. He said, I know the truth. You're not properly balancing things, so that is an abomination. Too much of us and not enough of God. Thank God that John the Baptist had the presence of mind. He said, you know what, at this stage of the game, I need to
decrease.
And God needs to increase. And Paul tells the Corinthian church, he said, I die daily. Amen. Every day our man should be perishing and our should be being what? Renewed? It didn't say one day. What? Every day. It's a process that we need to be renewed. But the misconception is, hey, I did it last year. I'm all right this year. No, every day is a new day with God. That's why his mercies are new.
Every morning.
Every morning he gives us what? New mercies. Well, what does mercy signify? If it wasn't for mercy, God would have judgment.
Amen.
So somewhere along the line, all of us holy and righteous people still make mistakes.
Right.
And because God is a good God and God is merciful.
Hallelujah.
He says, you know what I'm going to do? Every day you wake up, I'm giving you new mercy.
Amen.
Because before you wake up, you can be guaranteed the accuser of the brethren has gone before God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look what all you did. Look how you suffered. Look what you went through. They're not worthy. But God said, I hear what you said.
Wow.
But when I see them, I see the blood.
Yeah.
And he told the children of Israel, Lord, though the death angel was there, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God's mercy.
Come on.
Amen. That's why when you had the mercy seat, the mercy seat was always sprinkled with the blood.
Yes.
Because that was our atonement. That's
you.
What brought us back to God.
Yes, yes.
So we need mercy so God can cover us. Can we say cover? God, cover me.
Come on.
I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you. Amen. Amen. So we need God to cover us. So God has to give us mercy. Amen. Now God has given us so much. The question is, what are we giving back to God? Amen. No one of the psalmist said, Lord, when I think of how good you've been to me.
Come on now.
Lord, when I think of where I should have been and where I could have been. He said, what shall I render unto God? It wasn't a man, I don't care, even if it's a doctor, it wasn't a doctor. But what shall I render to God for all of his benefits unto me? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll, but he didn't stop there though. A lot of times we need to stop right, we stop right there. He said, and I will plead my vows in the presence of all the people. That's how we pay God back. How? I honor God. Amen. It's better that thou shalt not vow, that thou shalt vow and not keep it. I was going to get those, but I ain't going to go there now. All right, y'all know what a vow is, right?
Amen.
See, y'all can see that going out. Amen. All right, so we don't want to get like that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read just verse 3 of this. We're dealing with the tactics that causes us to fall short of glorifying God. The tactics that the enemy uses, amen, and the number one tactic is deception. Deception is the number one tactic. You'll see this on the bulletin Sunday. It said there's only one of two ways that you can be deceived. One of two ways. Either you can refuse to accept the truth, or you can accept a lie. Those are only two ways to be deceived. Well, what prevents us from accepting the truth? Our own personal preferences prevents us. So those are only two ways you can be deceived. You don't want to accept the truth, but you will accept a lie. Amen. Verse 3 reads, by fear lest by any means, after what? Serpent beguiled Eve through his. It's nothing more than a trick. It's crafty. It's sly. He doesn't want you to understand. So he will beguile you. What does beguile mean? You don't realize that you're being spiritually seduced.
Come on.
Seduction. You don't realize seduction. Amen. It's a spiritual seduction. Amen. Some of us unwittingly, like I was telling Minister Simon the other day, I looked up to some stuff on the internet because I don't want people to think I'm knocking everything. And I looked up to some stuff on the internet contacting, they said, well, this is a good way to contact farmers, whatever. I got so much mess, I didn't even look at it. I said, nah, when I saw the stuff, inappropriate stuff. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to contact a college mate. What I care about 100 different half-dressed ladies popping up on different things, right? So I said, you know what? When I saw the first one, I was finished.
Come on.
I didn't need nothing else. Amen? Because that's me.
All right.
So what happens is the devil is shrewd. So what he does is he attaches other people's spirit to us inadvertently. And we don't realize it there now, influencing us. When I got that, I said, whoa, I told my wife, I said, I can't believe I'm getting this mess. That, 2 weeks ago, haven't been back on yet. I'm trying to get it off the phone. You know what? I'm not going to be tricked up like that. I can see this. And then you're going to talk about 100 other contacts. This is just one person. My Facebook, this is just as bad. Inappropriate, like what does this have to do with business? You understand what I'm saying? So what the devil does is he's shrewd, he's subtle. He can't get in the front door, so he sneaks in. You know what I'm talking about? Well, this is just the internet, no, it's just in spirits. Spirits. The world we live in is a spiritual world.
Come on.
And you can be guaranteed he's trying to trip you up. Amen. So I'm back to my original position. If I can't talk to you on the phone I can control who I talk to. Hundreds of people disappointed. I got so tired of, matter of fact, I got to change my email. They got to pop up my email from one contact. Watch it. I'm telling you. That's one of his subtleties. That's one of the ways he tricks you up. Inappropriate stuff, you know? It's just like, what I care about whether you did 100 years ago, it doesn't make a difference to me. I didn't try to contact you anyway. What are you contacting me for? No, I don't want you to be my LinkedIn. Oh, should have said, that's what it was. What was it, LinkedIn or something like that? No, I don't want to LinkedIn with you. Mess. You know, we say, oh, it wasn't nothing. You see it every day, but you can choose. When you're in the streets, you can't help it, but you should be able to control what you see in the streets But you can show, choose what comes to you.
Come on.
Don't open yourself up to ungodliness when you don't have to. Subtlety. So it says that, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent did what? Beguile Eve. Oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. But I feel that by being any means, yeah, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your
mind.
It didn't mean nothing. Yes, it is. Everything you see. Listen to me. Can we say everything?
Everything.
I don't care how holy and righteous you see. Everything you see leaves a double impression in your
mind.
In your mind. So what is he working on? Your mind. He said, well, it didn't really bother me. Not true. If it didn't bother you, then God's word is not true. Everything leaves an indelible impression in your mind. You ever walk through the store? Amen. Songs I haven't heard from 1970 will be playing. I say, nope, you're not taking me back there. Amen.
Amen.
You know, years ago, most of y'all don't know, y'all people don't know, remember the song Walking in the Rain with the Lord I Love?
Yep.
Y'all know that?
Come on, Elder, sing it.
I know, because it's back from the 70s. No, I'm not going to sing it. What I'm saying is, when you're walking in the rain with the one you love, this was 30-something years ago. Now you're not the new love. Amen?
Amen.
So what are you listening to what you used to do? And how does your mind go back there that fast? Because everything you ever did is there. And it only takes the right circumstance to resurrect it. And as we said, it should be a 1-second rule because 2 seconds might be too long. But if it popped there, get it out. But that's one of the ways the devil is tricking up the church. You're putting all this stuff in your mind. Then you go to pray, you can't even pray because of trying to fight all this stuff in your mind. You come to church and you can't hear the word of God because of all the stuff that's in your
mind.
In your mind. So he said, so your mind should be what? Corrupted from the
simplicity.
This means sincerity and honesty. Sincerity and honesty. Purity. Amen. Your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in
Christ.
If you're in Christ, you have to be honest. You have to be sincere. And we have to be pure. What kind of stuff in the name of Jesus are we exposing ourselves to? It's just there. Yes, it is just there. But that's what the devil used. The lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
The lust of the... Once you see it, it's in there.
Right.
Amen? So, well, I'm stronger than that. Yeah, we're all stronger than that. Get it out. You don't have it. The stuff you can't control is there. But the stuff you can't control, you got to get it out. Amen. You can see something today and 3 weeks later it pops up in your mind. How did it get there? And I know that's a fact. I don't care how holy and righteous you are. How did it get there? Because you what? You saw it. And if you don't say spiritual, what you saw, well, eventually, it starts off as a root.
Right.
But the Bible says if you don't control that root, it will spring up and trouble you. Amen? These are the tactics that the devil used. Everything is not innocent. And I was reading, I forget who it was, he said, I forget the gentleman, he said that all of us putting all this stock in the media and all this stuff that's on TV, amen, need to turn some of that stuff off. Because what they're doing is they're lulling you to a spiritual sleep.
Amen.
And when you get in your comfortable position, they're using different frames to send messages in your mind. You go to sleep at night, you have one of the worst nightmares, you say, what I ate, don't mean what you ate is what you saw. Because it left an impression. The spirits, all of these spirits, music, TV, media, are leaving impressions. And then we feel downcast and downtrodden and can't figure out why. What are you exposing yourself to? These are the tricks of the adversary. Amen. Can we go to our Revelation chapter 3? We're going to deal in all right, a few minutes. We're going to deal with a subject. Before you go to Revelation chapter 3, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read verses 8 through 17. What we see dominates our lives. Amen?
Amen.
What we see has a great influence on our lives. In 2 Kings chapter 6, this is Elijah. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to cut some of it out. But what happened was, the Syrians had plotted and connived. They wanted to set up a trap for God's people. And every time the kingdom of Syria would set up a trap in one place, God would speak to the man of God to warn the king not to go that way. So it didn't happen once, it didn't happen twice, but it happened at least three times. So the king said, who is for the king of Israel? Every time I set a trap for him, some kind of way he's avoiding all of these traps. How many know that's how the devil is? And that's why we need to come to church.
Hallelujah.
Who warned the king? The man of God. The word of God warns us. It prevents us from walking into traps. Some of the traps that some of us have been in is because we did not hear the word. Amen. So the man of God warned them, the Bible said, not once, not twice. So the king of Syria got a little upset. And he said, wow, who is for the king of Israel? Amen. With that being said, let's go to verse 15. Because I gave you most of that. Amen. Go down to verse 15. Now, so what happened was the king of Syria said, you know what? We can't get to the king. Let me get the man of God out of the way. That's why the devil don't want you to come to church. That's why the devil don't want you to get counsel. And a lot of things we do, because the Bible said the multitude of counsel is what?
Safety.
God has an order. He has a system established. Not that we choose and pick, but he has it there for safeguards. To safeguard who? For the perfecting of the what? How many saints? Lord, I'm a saint.
Hallelujah.
You know, when I get in trouble, you know what I do? I go on to get some counsel. Amen? We don't sit in our ivory tower and just call the shots. But when we're not sure, we get counsel. Because in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Amen. But you know, today, the situation and everything has said, well, you don't have to get nobody. You grown. You can make your own decision. Yes, you can. But the word of God prevents you from being in unfavorable positions.
Amen.
Because in the multitude of counsel there is, you can choose it and do, you know, that. What did old friend person say? You can pay me what?
Now.
Or pay me? God will not allow us to keep making the same mistakes. Amen. Some of us have dug holes that run so far, so deep, because of what we want to do instead of trusting. How many really trust God? I know I trust God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Even though, now I can use an example. Let's go here. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compass the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, oh my God, my master, what are we going to do? Amen. He said, what are we going to do? Now this is who? The servant. Now listen to what the man of God says. Once again, our influences are what we
see.
Amen. So what he saw was, whoa, we're in trouble. Verse 16 said, and he answered, fear not, because now he's giving spiritual counsel. Though it looks this way, yes, we're surrounded. He says, do what? Fear not. For they that be with us,
more.
Now, the servant was looking. And if he were to act on his own intuition and what he saw, he would would have been running. But the man of God said, be still. They that be with us are what?
More
than they that be with us. Next verse tells what he had to do for the servant to be able to see what he saw or knew.
Amen.
And Elijah prayed. And Elijah what? Thank God. Anyone that's going to counsel should spend some time praying.
Amen.
Amen. Even when you all come to us, we don't just act on it, because it takes time to.
Right.
And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Well, what eyes did God want open? I don't want you to see these natural eyes. I don't want you to see through the eyes of a man. But I need you to see now through your spiritual eyes. The conflict in church is too many of us are seeing through our natural eyes. And we're not seeing through our spiritual eyes. He said, that he may see. And the Lord opened. Now we already know his eyes are open. All right? Amen?
Yes, sir.
We know he's not talking about his what? Eyes. He wasn't sleeping. No, y'all can sleep, right? All right. Yeah. We know he wasn't talking about sleeping. Because he was able to see that they were what? Surrounded. But that's not what God needed him to see.
Amen.
In some of our present situations, what are we seeing? Through the natural eyes or through the
spirit?
And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and God's hosts. The young man couldn't see it because he was looking through his natural eyes. But when the man of God got him to get in the right position to see through his spiritual eyes, he was able to see God's hosts and fire, and they were all around
Elisha.
The servant reaped the benefits of the residual of being with the man of God. Now they were in Dothan, but the Bible does not say that the chariots and fire was around Dothan. They were around who? The man of God. There's security. He then said, well, you don't know the things that happened to me in my past. Yeah, you know what? God knows. If we don't, Paul said, forgetting what? Now y'all know that scripture, I know, right? Philippians 3:14, I believe it is. Forgetting the things which are
behind.
If we don't get out the rearview mirror, a bishop, as a matter of fact, a bishop's church for their theme for this year was getting out of mediocrity. Going forward and not
behind.
And they have a highway, and the words in a rearview mirror, trying to get everybody to go
forward
and stop. The church is stymied, crippled, amen, and being held by bad because they keep. You can't change anything in the past. Lord, have mercy. Can't we do something for the
future?
Amen. You can't just stay in that stagnant position. You're not going anywhere in God because you won't get out of the past. It's time to try God. The scripture said, now, even though it's the financial principle, God's principles are not just for finances, but they're also spiritual.
Amen.
He says, prove me now and see. You know what God said? He says, put me to the test. Amen. Can we put God to the test? Amen. Can you go to Revelation chapter 3? Chariots of fire were round about the man of God. God doesn't put us in these positions for us to elevate ourselves, but he puts us in these positions for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come together in the unity of the faith unto a, what kind of man?
Perfect man.
God has his order. He gave gifts to the church. Amen. 3:14. Then we talk about our eyes. Amen. What kind of eyes?
Spiritual
eyes. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, says amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God says, I'm guessing.
I know
Do you know God knows all of our works?
Amen.
That thou art neither cold. God said, right now you just keep straddling the fence. You won't get on fire for me. And you won't go cold and go in the world. You just want the best of both worlds. That's what God is telling you. You won't make a stand for God, but you won't leave the world alone. You just dipping and dabbing in both. He said, I would that thou wert. Either go ahead out in the world or even come on my side.
Come on.
He said, because thou art lukewarm and you have not made a spiritual stand, and neither cold nor hot, he said, I will. This spirit was the same reference he made to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. When they got all tangled up in the land and began to compromise with the false God, and said, God will spew them out of his mouth. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end.
Amen.
Compromising, it won't make a stand for God. So God said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You ever drink something that's warm and go spit it out? God doesn't want the warm. And we went over this early in the year, what that lukewarm was. He said, because I said, now we're dealing with a natural sin and not seeing spiritual. Because I say I am rich and increase with goods and have need of, I'm looking through my natural eyes and I look all right. I'm driving a nice car. I'm living. I got everything I need. I don't have need of, but that's how I'm looking naturally. And no, but thou knowest not that thou art
wretched.
Miserable, poor,
blind,
and God said, you look and thinking everything's all right. God said, but I see you differently. I'm not looking like you look. He said, you think you're all right. He said, but you're poor. You are
miserable.
Don't have no peace. Don't have no joy. Amen. In church, but you're still miserable.
Amen.
And besides that, you are blind and you are naked. Amen. But naturally, you got everything. What is the real issue? The what? Spiritual. God is not concerned with your natural, because everything that we have naturally will be here when we leave. The only thing that we're going to take with us is our spiritual man.
Amen.
When this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on, for we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
So God said, I'm trying to get you to see me, and all you're trying to do is see your stuff.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Leave your stuff alone.
Leave it alone.
Because the Bible says all these things you're worried about. He said, but if you see first the kingdom of God and his, God says, seek it first. He said, and then I do what? I'll add all that other stuff. But we're adding stuff and forgetting about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's natural. God wants us to be in the spiritual, amen.
Amen.
So because it says I'm rich in the next verse. He said, but I counsel thee to buy me. That's symbolic of our what? Faith. God said, now you're doing all that stuff by yourself and what you can do. God said, no. Because without faith, it is for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Lord, thank you. And that he is a reward of them that how are we seeking God.
Hallelujah.
of them that diligently seek him. So he said, I'm not worried about what you can do by yourself or naturally. Amen. He said, but I counsel you by your gold trying in the fire. He said, now when you do it my way, now God may be
rich.
Yeah. And what?
White raiment.
And that thou mayest be clothed, and that the what? Shame of thy
do not appear.
When you do it my way.
Amen.
He said, and then in the end, he said, and then do what? Wait a minute, but they don't really can see. But they weren't seeing what God wanted them to see.
Amen.
Elijah prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened. Then when God opened his eyes, he saw the spiritual. He saw the chariots of fire. He saw that even though it looks like we are outnumbered, thank God, that they that be with us are what? More than they that be with us. If we stay the course, if we remain faithful to God, God said, if I be for you, who then? If I be for you. If God is fighting our battles, hallelujah, we don't have to worry about anything. I heard somebody say, we read the back of the book and we
win.
Come on, we read the back of the book and we
win.
You gotta read the book. You gotta read the book. Amen. Go back. I'm not finishing. Go back. Before I get here, let me finish this. Amen. Go back to that last verse. He said, anoint thine eyes with eyes. In other words, God said, you need to do something different.
Amen.
You can't keep seeing life like you have always looked at it. Because naturally, you are missing the blessing. You're looking out of your natural eyes, and you're missing the spiritual blessing. So it says, anoint thine eyes with eyes that thou mayest
see.
But they can already see. But what's God focusing on? The what? The spiritual. I'm not going to go there, but in Numbers chapter 22, we know the story of who? Balaam. Mm. Three times God stood in the way to destroy Balaam because Balaam was seen out of his
natural eyes.
It's a shame when the man can't see, but his animal can.
Come on,
man. So Balaam could not see that God was in the way to destroy him. And finally, it says that God opened
his eyes.
And after God opened his eyes, he saw the sword drawn to destroy him. When we purpose to do something without looking through the eyes of God, God will have things he try to direct and redirect us. God will try to stop us. God will try to turn us around. But we cannot see what God is trying to do because we won't look through our
spiritual eyes.
The spiritual eyes walk by faith and not by
sight.
The natural eyes walk by what they can see, what they feel, and what they think. Well, that's what the devil does to trip us up. We look at everything and say, I look all right. I feel good. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods and I don't have need of
nothing.
Thank God the Bible said Jesus was rich.
Amen.
But yet for our sake he became
poor.
Well, why did he do this? You know, everybody's, it's nothing wrong with having substance. But when the substance become more of the governing factor, the Bible said they that be rich would drown themselves through with many, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Let God be God.
Yes.
Let God be true. Joshua told him, he said, choose ye, not tomorrow. Choose you when? Choose you this night.
Amen.
Right now, choose ye whom ye shall serve.
Amen.
Don't put off for tomorrow what you need to do right now. Lord, I'm so tired of seeing everything through my natural eyes.
Come on.
Amen. You know, if we really look at everything through the natural eyes of all the circumstances and challenges we had at church, natural eyes, we would have given up and been gone a long time ago.
Hallelujah.
But when we look through our spiritual eyes, we realize that I have not yet seen. And it still have not yet, ears have not yet
heard.
And neither has it entered into our hearts the things that God has. But that's only through the spiritual eyes. The natural eyes can get discouraged and want to quit and want to run and want to hide. Until things get blessed and then we run back. I heard Bishop, this young fellow priest said, who remember him saying that? He said a lot of times the saints, when things are tough in the church, they go to running. Then when God blessed, they come back and say, oh, we knew God was going to do it. Y'all don't know that? When he was preaching, he said, yeah, he said, the saints, yeah, he said, things get hard, they go to running. They don't want to be in that trouble. He said, then all of a sudden, God blessed, they all back. Oh, we knew God was going to do it. Well, why don't you leave? Amen?
Yeah.
Because they weren't looking through their spiritual eyes. Let us stand. So ministers come forward. We're not ignorant of the devils, lest he should get
the advantage.
The main device that Satan likes to use is deception.
Amen.
Twisting God's word. A misconception. Making us believe something that is not true as the elders and the ministers come forward, but making us believe something that is really in error. And we will build our whole defense on a lie. A lie will never stand. Only the truth will stand. And only the truth will make us free of it.
Deception. Being deceived.